Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's For Women. You are not 9 to 5 and neither are we. Conveniently open online 365 days per year, 24 hours per day.
Well, Sally's not going to have to wait anymore, and she won't have to look back in anger, because it looks like there's a big announcement on the books. Music journalist and acting editor of the Irish Times magazine and music broadcaster and fellow Rising Time broadcaster. Some mornings, Nadine O'Regan is on the line to tell us more. Morning, Nadine.
Good morning.
How are you this morning?
I'm good. Yeah, the news is breaking and it's quite something. My texts were coming through from different friends yesterday once the various newspapers were outlining the speculation that Oasis would indeed be back in the summer of 2025 with what some people are saying could be as many as 10 nights at Wembley Stadium, which is quite incredible.
Where did this start? Where did the rumours start, or where did this momentum start?
Well, I think it started first possibly with the compliments, which we know for years Noel and Liam have not been very complimentary to each other over the years. And I remember, God, years back when Noel Gallagher first emerged with his project High Flying Birds, Liam was very quick to call them High Flying Turds. And that would have been a sort of one example of the kinds of lines that they would have traded in the media over the years. But in recent days and weeks, it is very different. Liam has been dedicating songs to Noel Gallagher in his set. And Noel was quoted in a recent interview. He said that while his voice was like a half a pint of Guinness on a Tuesday, that Liam's was like 10 shots of tequila. And he was effectively saying, and to be fair, he has a point, that when he communicates those songs, and maybe it is just because it's the way we heard them first, but when Liam sings those songs from the 90s era, particularly the first three albums, and you hear his vocal on them, it just sounds amazing.
And they still play so well on the radio as well. People still request them. There's still lots of interest. I mean, there's John from Dublin has been on saying, stop the Oasis nostalgia already. I feel so old, no longer than mid-90s teenager Nat Lone, thinking they were gods. Yeah. And they are still gods to some people.
They are. And you have to remember, I think, that, you know, they were formed in imitation or in homage or inspired by, if you like, the Beatles. And those classic songwriting licks are still very obvious and present on the early songs, particularly where they have such fidelity to, you know, what a good song should be. So get in quickly to the chorus. And also there's a conviction. There's a conviction there. They were kind of a rock and roll band formed in 91, emerging with, I mean, a string of albums through the mid-90s that really held Britain, of course, but also Ireland captive. They were coming in the wake of the grunge movement, and they sort of pushed that aside very firmly. And they were also, I think they had the swagger that people really related to. They took on other bands. They took on Blur very famously, and they created the kind of excitement that made them leap from the music pages to the front pages.
Yeah, it's all changed now. They meet backstage and have cheese and biscuits and a glass of wine together. So all that 90s fighting is gone. Dave Fanning is on the line. Dave, good morning.
There you are, Shay. Good man.
Good morning. John has been on to say, just don't get me started about Oasis, the most overrated band ever. Whining vocals, moderate songs. Beyond, I thought you'd written this. It's beyond me how many people could rate them so highly. The poor man's Beatles at best.
Sorry, wait, that's the second time the Beatles have been mentioned. I mean, like, yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, when they came along, as Nadine said, in 95, I think we needed something like that. And they do have the swagger, even though when you see them live, they don't exactly use the stage. They're just there doing it. I mean, he's slightly kind of crooked with his hands behind his back with the parka jacket, just kind of wailing into the thing. And he's a much better singer than Noel. So Noel needs him. I mean, yeah, it's all good fun, isn't it? I'm delighted they're coming back, you know. Do I think they're one of the greatest bands ever? No. Do I like them? Yeah.
Are you surprised about it, or you expected this at any moment in the last few years?
Well, I must say, I'm surprised it lasted so long. I mean, if you think about it, like, you know, BDI came out, which was Liam's band. I saw them at the when they started at the, what do you call it, the Isle of Wight Festival. And then your man has four albums, Noel. And to be honest, Cancelled Sky is the most recent one. There's really good songs on it. But it's not necessarily enough to have songs. The brand is everything in terms of, like, you look at Pink Floyd. They released two albums in the 1980s and nobody gave a damn. But once they were the real Pink Floyd with Roger Waters, and that everything works around who's who. And if these two get back together, people just love the whole idea. But I'll tell you, here's one for you, since it's been mentioned so much. Here's the question for you, Shay.
Oh, no.
Why did Oasis cross the road?
I don't know. Why did Oasis cross the road?
Because the Beatles crossed the road.
That's what Nadine said.
So, I mean, like, the thing is, like, when you think about it, like, and also, like, Nadine did mention the three albums. To be honest, I think people would have a great difficulty in remembering songs from Heathen Chemistry or Don't Believe the Truth, yeah, or Dig Out Your Soul. It's the first two albums that are everything. And the first one is 30 years old this year, and the second one is 30 years old next year.
Definitely,
so,
maybe cigarettes,
you know,
and
rock
alcohol.
Rock and roll, yeah, loves the old nostalgia thing, yeah, and they love celebrating things like that. And, you know, I mean, they probably will do 10 Wembleys. I mean, there was only two other bands that could ever have got back together, and people have said they would have made a billion. And I think they might be right if they did a two-year tour, and that's Pink Floyd and ABBA. And now with Oasis back, they're not as big as those two, but with Oasis back, it's going to be huge if they do come. And it'll be great fun because, you know something, we kind of need it. Because there was a statistic from, was it last week or the week before, that in the top 50 songs in the charts, in the US in particular, there isn't one band, not one single band.
Yeah.
And I always thought Oasis were probably the last of the bands. And then the really last one, the kind of final bit, was Kasabian, and I saw them last week at Electric 50, and I mean, I'm not a major fan, I thought they were dreadful. So yeah, let's bring Oasis back.
Oh, and Nadine, you're play music on the radio on a regular basis, like Dave as well, all singer-songwriters at the moment, how do you feel about that?
I think, to be honest, it's the era of the female music superstar, really. If you look at Serena Carpenter, Taylor Swift, you know, Chappell Roan at the moment, and yes, the singer-songwriter, you know, commands interest. The band is just a problem, because you look at a band, you know, four or five members in a band, how expensive is it for a band to go on tour versus Ed Sheeran on stage with his guitar, you know, and a high entry fee that people will actually pay? Like, the difference in the economics is absolutely massive. And actually, one thing that hasn't really been said much about Oasis in the recent coverage is the difference that the two brothers might be looking at in terms of their dividends from the albums over the years, because Noel has always been the key songwriter. So, you know, in terms of the income that you make from that, it's substantially more than for performance royalties. So I would wonder, you know, Liam has always been, I think, a little bit more enthusiastic about getting the band back together, and Noel has been the one to be very shy of it. But, you know, if it happens next year, brilliant, because as Dave said, I would like to see more bands. I would like to see more bands doing well, being in the upper echelons of the charts. We need them.
Dave, you've interviewed both of them. They're completely different people, really, aren't they?
Yeah, are they? I'm not 100% sure about
listen
that.
To
I mean,
them.
The thing is, like, remember, like, they kind of dominated the second part of the 1990s. They were huge in the noughties. And they were fighting while they were in the bands. While they were in their own band. And I mean, look at down through the years, the Everly Brothers, the Kinks, Creedence, geez, the Mary Chain, the Black Crowes. They've always been fighting. In fact, most of them broke up because of the fights. I mean, lots of brothers get on, don't get me wrong. Look at the Bee Gees or the Almonds or the Carpenters or the Brothers, just Sparks, In Excess, maybe. I mean, Arcade. I'll tell you, the other week there, I was down at, All Together Now in Waterford. And right up at the front, there they were, the five people playing, the lead singer, the main band, the National. Lead singer is on his own. And the other four people behind him are two sets of brothers. And they get on great. So it's actually possible to get on great. The National, like, you know, Arcade Fire, all of them. But, I mean, these guys, you want them to fight. I mean, lots of people wanted what was happening in the last 15 years. They love the Barbs the little sort of... And also, the fact that music is also TikTokable these days, Oasis will have none of that. And that's a great thing.
Will you go and see them?
Oh, God, yeah. You'd have to, you know. God's sake, why not?
What do you think of this? Do you think they'll do Glastonbury? I mean, that's been out there this morning as well.
That's a good one, because Glastonbury is so... God, I'm not going to use the word I-C-O-N-I-C. I hate that overused word. But anyway, it is so whatever it is. And, of course, Glastonbury's already sold out, so it doesn't matter almost who... But, I mean, Glastonbury this year, you know, crossed the line. Like Nadine mentioned there about the female singers and that, and Dua Lipa and Sabrina Carpenter, Olivia Rodrigo and all of them. And your woman from this year who only was known by her parents in January, and now she's a superstar, it seems, Chappell Roan. It's like, hold on a minute, lads. Just hold on 1 second. And then SZA is put on as the headliner on the Sunday night at Glastonbury. And the crowd in front, you could have parked six buses within 1 foot of the stage. It was pathetic. So maybe the line has been crossed, and maybe we need a good old rock band to go, let's do this. And Oasis is the band.
Nadine, do you think they relate to young people? I have a 19-year-old who absolutely loves them. 19-year-old boy who's mad about them. Do you think that they have relevance now? I mean, if they play Glastonbury, what age group is going to be at the front?
Oh, look, I mean, I think it becomes that family vibe. Like when I went to see Blur last year, it was amazing to me to see, you know, my own contemporaries there, but having brought their kids, and the kids were listening, not only because they loved Blur, because their parents had been playing Blur albums to them, but because they were also into Gorillaz, and they had just grown up with Damon Albarn, and an awful lot of kids will have grown up with Oasis albums. Like, I thought it was interesting, you know, you've seen artists like C-Mac do shout outs to Robbie Williams. There is a sizable cohort of, you know, young Irish singer-songwriters coming through who will absolutely want to pay tribute to music that maybe, you know, they came to it a little bit later, but it doesn't mean it doesn't influence them. And, it gets back to something you were saying at the start, you know, these songs still play well on the radio. They're simple, they're direct, they've got good choruses. And like a song like Live Forever or Wonderwall, like, they're just good songs, and they're sung with conviction. The lyrics are simple, they're direct, they work, and they still work for me.
Well, Heidi in Tralee says, good morning. It's not just the college students of the 1990s who'll be hankering for tickets for for Oasis. My daughter's Leaving Cert class of 2024 chose Don't Look Back in Anger as their song to sing together at their graduation. That's from Heidi in Tralee this morning. Dave, I was in London recently with my son, and there was a man with kind of long curls at the front and a shaved head at the back, a green parka jacket, jeans. He went, he's like Noel Gallagher. I said, well, he could be Paul Weller. He could be.
Actually, do you know something? That's really funny, Shay, because Paul Weller sang once at the Jam. The public gets what the public wants. And I think if the public got something better than what they're getting in terms of the pop charts these days, they'd want that too. And there's an awful lot of people saying, right, enough is enough. Let's just change all this auto-tuning nonsense and let's get back to something else. I'm not saying that back to something else is the future, but, you know, we need a bit more of it. It's just not enough. And Oasis might just provide it.
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to seeing you and Nadine at the front in Wembley, if we can get tickets. I can imagine the ticket price is going to be outrageous. Anybody?
Not necessarily. You know, I mean, like some of the gigs these days, it's a joke. It really is a joke. I mean, maybe Oasis were before the people, man.
Yeah. <Who knows? laughs> I'd say they're before the Rolls Royces and the private jets. Let's be honest.
Yeah, I don't know.
Brilliant. Man. Nadine O'Regan, Dave Fanning, thanks for joining us. We'll finish with an Oasis track.
Text 51551. Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1.